This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. It's been 1 month since President Trump formally notified Congress that his administration intends to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. Now the process is underway. This week, Agriculture Secretary Senator Perdue is meeting with his counterparts from those two countries to start the dialogue about how we improve NAFTA. In rural America, neighbors help each other and they learn to work together. We should be able to have a constructive dialogue with our neighbor nations about ensuring NAFTA helps, not harms, our farmers. U.S. agricultural exports to Canada and Mexico have quadrupled since NAFTA took effect. America's farmers and ranchers value their neighbors to the south and north and appreciate the important markets we've developed and grown in both countries. We must protect the trade gains that we have made. But that doesn't mean we can't make improvements or shouldn't talk about problems that have come up under the decades-old agreement. For example, we should be able to find ways for our consumers to benefit from imports of Mexican produce when those items aren't in season here. But we should also ensure those imports do not unfairly or directly compete against our own production in seasons when those items are produced here. We should be able to persuade Canada to lower tariff barriers that are hindering our dairy, poultry, egg, and wine exports to that country. Much like neighbors might work together to solve a problem or improve the neighborhood, it's time for these neighbors, Canada, Mexico, and the United States, to talk things over, ensure NAFTA provides a fair give and take, and make NAFTA even better for the farmers and ranchers of each country. Proposed revisions to the Agriculture Department's biotechnology regulations take some very positive and bold steps in the right direction, but major changes are needed to ensure the new rules encourage innovation, according to AFBF and 102 other agricultural organizations. The groups are supportive of USDA's efforts to modernize its regulations, ensuring they are up to date with the best available science and utilize the more than 30 years of experience USDA has in reviewing the safety of these crops. The groups also noted their appreciation for USDA's strong position regarding the exclusion from the proposal of products of new breeding methods, such as gene editing. Many of the products developed using these new methods are strikingly similar to those developed using more traditional plant breeding methods. Farmers will have the opportunity to complete the 2017 Census of Agriculture when the National Agricultural Statistics Service mails census forms in December. New farmer or farmers who did not receive a census still have time to sign up to receive one on www.agcensus.usda.gov. The reopening of China to U.S. beef provides great market potential for U.S. agriculture. Caitlin McCulloch, an AFBF economist, explained that China has developed a strong appetite for beef, creating market potential for U.S. ranchers. McCulloch said, "We've seen imports of beef rise in China from about $70 million in 2003, the last time the U.S. was in that market, to over $2.5 billion worth of beef imported last year. The market potential is such that this could be a very big deal for beef producers." China used to import a lot more variety meats, which has changed to much heavier demand in muscle meats. Muscle meats tend to be of higher value, so there's potential to have not just more exports, but also higher value exports. Dr. Bob Young, AFBF's chief economist, was quoted in a recent Bloomberg BNA article. Discussing U.S. trade with Cuba, Young told Bloomberg that a cooling in trade relations with Cuba could result in the nation purchasing agricultural goods elsewhere. Young says, "If we make it tougher on Cuba, there are other folks ready to line up and say, we can help you with that." Mexico and Japan are the top two destinations for offal. The U.S. ships almost all offal produced overseas. It is a critically important piece of the carcass value to find a home for these byproducts that would not be used by the domestic market. As carcass weights have gotten heavier and dressing yields improved, more meat has become available on a per-carcass basis. However, it does not change the volume of organs. Cattle still have one tongue, one liver, two kidneys, and all the rest. The Water Rights Protection Act, introduced in the House on Tuesday, could bring U.S. ranchers much-needed relief from ongoing efforts by the federal government to extort privately held water rights from law-abiding citizens, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. It's time to put a stop to federal strong-arming of ranchers by a government that owns the majority of the land for grazing west of the Mississippi, AFBF President Zippy Duvall said. Water is the most valuable resource for every farmer and rancher. Unfortunately, the federal tactics we've seen in recent years have little to do with conservation and everything to do with big government and control. In recent years, federal land managers in the West have demanded increasingly that the ranchers who work the land surrender their water rights to the government or leave. Public lands are meant to be enjoyed and shared by our citizens, and America's ranchers play a critical role in caring for these lands. The government's treatment of these ranchers is not only fair, but unconstitutional, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. Excessive rainfall in early to mid-April delayed corn plantings and then unfavorable growing conditions led to a larger than average percentage of the corn and soybean crops in poor to very poor conditions. These adverse growing conditions are likely to have a negative impact on crop yields in some areas. For example, the Agriculture Department's weather-adjusted trend yield model reveals that for each percentage of the U.S. corn crop planted after mid-May, yields drop by 0.289 bushels per acre. The yield response is not linear, however. At some point, it is no longer timely to plant the crop. Part of the planting decision will reflect the combination of lower commodity prices and potential yield declines driven by late planting. At least a few farmers may well decide to let things go this year. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.